I'm Monica Brady-Meyerov, in for Robin Young. It's Here and Now. According to the National Association of Home Builders, the median size of a new single-family home is around 2,100 square feet, about the size of three basketball courts. That may sound large, but home sizes have been shrinking in the U.S. since 2006. And that's good news for Jay Schaefer. He owns the Tumbleweed Tiny House Company, which builds and sells tiny houses. These are the miniature homes that are super efficient and insulated, and they're built on wheels, so they don't have to meet building codes of a house, including a minimum size standard. We recently spoke to Jay from Rohnert Park, California, and asked him if he's noticed a surge in popularity for smaller living.
In the last, I'd say, 3 years or so, ever since the economic downturn and the housing bust, along with people's increased awareness of sustainability issues, business has really spiked. It's been great.
You have a website that we're linking to that shows some of the varying sizes and prices, and it is still pretty pricey, I'd say, to own such a small home, $40,000, $50,000. Why that much?
You know, when you're buying a really small house, of course, you're going to pay a little bit less overall, but then it is going to be a little bit more per square foot. The smaller you get, you know, you still have the essentials in there, like a water heater and a heater and all the expensive parts.
Well, you built your first tiny home 10 years ago. It's just about 89 square feet, about the size of a large closet. Describe it for us.
Well, I wanted something that felt really homey. So the whole house is about 8 feet wide by 12 feet. It's got a little front porch of about 2 feet deep. If you step in off the porch into the main room, it's only about 7 by 7 feet. And that room contains a little stainless steel fireplace and a desk and a lot of storage. Beyond that, you've got a kitchen and a bathroom and a little sleeping loft above it all.
But I understand that got a little cramped even for you, and you recently moved to a larger space because you had a son. So is that a sign that there are certain life events that just make tiny living really inconvenient?
Yeah, I'd say living in 100 or 89 square feet is certainly not for everyone. But I drew the line when I got married and had a baby recently, and we bought a palatial 500-square-foot house. I have my tiny house is still there parked right next door. I call that my place. I call the other place the family home. So it works out really well for us.
And some people do the same thing. They use that as not necessarily their main home, but an office or a guest room or someplace maybe for a parent or a son or daughter who comes back to live at home, which we know is happening more and more these days.
Yeah, it seems like the market for these things is split basically three ways evenly between those who want to live in them full time, like I have, and those who want to just have something in the backyard to extend their existing home, or maybe the third category being people who want them as vacation houses.
Well, you live in California. I live in Massachusetts, and somebody else out there listening lives in North Dakota, and it's cold right now. And we spend a lot of time indoors in the winter. So do you think these kind of homes are really geared toward warmer climates?
All of the houses I've designed are designed for all climates within the continental United States and Canada. So we put in a lot of insulation and good heaters so that nobody gets too cold.
But you still might get a little stir crazy in the dead of a snowstorm in the Northeast.
Yeah, I always consider the biggest room in my house to be the outdoors. And it's a lot easier to get out in the outdoors if it's not below zero outside.
That's for sure. What's the argument you think that speaks to people the most about why this is a good way to live?
It just doesn't make sense to be using more space or heating more space and paying for more space than you really need to be comfortable. I really love the way my small house has made my life a lot bigger, actually. I can spend more time doing the things I love to do and not working to pay for a mortgage now.
Why is this better or different than living in a mobile home or a trailer? You know, there's a lot of stigma around mobile homes and trailers. What makes this different, or is it different?
I don't think it's all that different, really. It's really a glorified RV in a certain sense. I guess the primary difference physically would just be that it has a lot more insulation than a travel trailer because it's designed for full-time occupation rather than just seasonal use. Other than that, I think travel trailers are a great way to live, too, if you can get around the stigma. And I think a lot of that just has to do with our ideas of home and making something feel homey.
Jay Schaefer is co-founder of the Small House Society. He's author of the Small House book. Thanks for speaking with us, Jay.
Thank you, Monica.
By the way, Jay says that his tiny houses haven't been affected by the rain in California because they're on a hill. It's Here and Now.